Hey everyone, this is Adriana, producer of The Skill Set. I just wanted to let you know that a new episode of The Skill Set is live, and you can listen anywhere you download your podcast. This new episode is with Solomon Renfro, a talented sneaker designer at New Balance, who shares his unique journey from studying interior architecture to becoming a footwear visionary. You don't want to miss this conversation.
So I'm recording this right before the solar eclipse. Hopefully I survived. You're probably listening to this day of or days after. I don't know. I want to do a little reflection. It's the end of the quarter. I want to look ahead and I want to look back. Something I want to do more of this year is reach into the community and draw insights from you. And we can start right now. So I have a question. Something I've been thinking about, something I've actually talked about with certain guests, something I don't have a great sense of clarity on, and I'm looking for opinions. I've come to understand the importance of licensure in the practice of interior design and how important becoming licensed is in terms of developing a profession that's valued by its clients. I also understand the value and importance of our education system in design and how important universities are in shaping the future of design. I do have a question though. Should you be required to have a college degree to take the NCIDQ as an interior designer? And I'm asking, can a higher amount of apprenticeship or work experience get you there? I realize something is lost without that time in school. I mean, that time in school is important. I have a very soft spot in my heart for universities. I also realize that something is lost when we exclude people from joining the profession as licensed interior designers when they have the ability and the experience to contribute at that level. So, should there be a 6-year or so work experience / apprenticeship path that could lead to eligibility for NCIDQ testing? I'm asking because I'm not sure. I've seen firsthand from my work with Kansas State and spending time with professors like John Otis of Pratt. I've seen how schools and professors are opening the minds and elevating the next generation of designers. That simply can't go away. That would be a huge miss to disregard that. But I'm asking, is there another path we should be open to? What do you think? Email me. Email me at dshapiro@ofs.com. I would love to collect your opinions. And if I get enough of these opinions, I'll build an episode out of it. So help me out. All right. It's the end of the quarter. We've done 8 episodes this year. This is the look back here now. There's a lot on my mind. Kicking off the year with Curtis Moody, founder of Moody Nolan, that was a special treat. I mean, some of the best stories are when limitation becomes motivation. I mean, pretty much pick any Disney story. Mr. Moody's life is like one of those stories. So for Mr. Moody, the obstacle is the way. You know, I think it's easy to kind of look back as you get older and view obstacles as opportunities. But man, in the moment, that mindset is hard. So there is a little piece of Mr. Moody that I'm hanging on to, a little piece of him that I'm keeping with me. He'll be my reminder to overcome. And I was thinking, unfortunately, for most of us, our doubters, our obstacle is inside of us. For Mr. Moody, they were outside of him. But for most of us, getting past our own self-doubt, that is probably the most rewarding obstacle that we have in our world to overcome. All right, I want to keep going because there's more episodes that got me thinking. If you haven't heard the David Polzin episode from January 22nd, Mr. Polzin from Canon Design, it is a must-listen episode. I don't go and re-listen to episodes much. I'm both having the conversation and editing the conversation. And after that, I'm kind of tired of hearing my own voice. But this episode, I've re-listened to multiple times. David's way of thinking about creativity and leadership, it's just plain awesome. His humility, his honesty about the profession, that was super refreshing. And there's a parallel with how David finishes this episode with me and how Tasha Singh, the student from Drexel that I interviewed, how she finishes her episode with me. There's a parallel between those two things. I asked David, what is he concerned about? And his answer was totally unique. He said, you know, we take all this time to create places, places of beauty, places of interest, places that have experience designed into them. And yet, he says, when I'm in these places, I look around and people have their head in their phones. And he just worries if all this work is being missed. Ooh, that one sunk into me. And then it was with Tasha. She was reflecting on her time in yoga and saying how she would notice the difference from her practice when she was in a beautiful space and when she was in a poorly designed space. Her actual yoga practice would suffer. And it was the process of slowing down in yoga, slowing down and taking in her environment that she was able to notice that. It just makes me wonder, are we moving so fast? Are we missing the opportunity for good things to sink in? Are we surrounding ourselves with the right influence? A lot to think about. And I actually want to get into influence. So one of the people I'm actually going to have back on is Mario Vasilescu. Mario was the one who talked about informational health and how what we take in through our phones, through our screens, how that's impacting our health. And after the Tasha Singh and the David Polzin comments, I felt like when we talk about space and design and its impact on us, I felt like we needed to reconnect with all the other stuff too, and what that's doing. And so I think this episode from Mario I have coming up will be a great reconnection into that influence. Is that making any sense? It makes sense to me, but I don't know if it's making sense when I say it. All right. Either way, I got cool stuff going on in the network. I should really talk more about the network and its purpose. We're trying to pull together relevant, high-quality content that entertains and educates. We want things like insights, inspiration to be accessible, to be fun, to be delivered in a way that makes sense for you. And we have a new season coming up for the Resilience Lab. It will focus on the power of design to make a difference in education. So if education is your space of design, this will be your podcast. Rex Miller has done a bunch of research on the subject. He's written books on it. And he really helps us understand the way we need to change how we think about education. He's got a great content plan for the year. The Skill Set has a brand new episode with a shoe designer from New Balance. It's really good. It gave me a whole new perspective on fashion. And of course, who doesn't want to be a fly on the wall in a Cheryl Durst conversation? All right, so the Design Pop celebrated the 1 year milestone. Congratulations, Alexandra Sefos. You have been an incredible host. In fact, she has become the fan favorite on this network. Her energy is incredible, and her work around drawing community-driven insights and getting to the core of some pretty intense subjects is honestly unmatched inside the dealer community. And she's only getting started. In fact, she has more ideas than she has time. So there will be no shortage of new and clever subjects ahead for that show. I'm super excited for what she's doing and the difference that the Design Pop can make inside the dealer community. In terms of what's ahead for IAP, I can't share it all. But we do have a surprise in the works. Let's put it this way. We're going to be doing insights a bit differently. I'll leave it at that. All right. Remember, if you've got an opinion about the NCIDQ and whether or not a degree should be required for eligibility to take the test, I'd love to hear that. I'm at dshapiro@ofs.com. All right. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.